It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you. This is Caffeinated Comics. I am your host, John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brett.
And David Redfield is here.
Hello, hello.
And Stu McLean is back.
Hello.
It's been a while, in his hat. I tried to take a picture of the hat, and the sun was right
Dave
behind
got
me.
It, so
I got
we'll
it.
Throw
I was like, it was a very early 70s ad kind of thing of like, let's all be together and drink Coke. It was like, I was like, but you can't see the detail in that
I'm
hat.
I'm thinking like John Candy wore that hat in some sort.
Yeah, you do look kind of like it's a John Candy hat.
Oh, like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Biffer from, you know, Hobbit, which we're talking about.
My oh, dad. Yeah. True. There you go.
Speaking of John Candy, they were showing Home Alone like in a marathon. And that first movie's still good, and the best part of it is still John Candy. John Candy and Catherine O'Hara in the...
Yeah, he's only in it for like...
He's in it for five
minutes.
But he tells this horrible story about leaving his child in a funeral home. And like, you could tell it's all improv.
It's awesome.
Well, is he in the airport? I don't remember.
No, he gives the mom
a
ride.
Like in an Oompa band, they give her a ride back to Chicago. But we're a little late talking about this, so I think we've given you, the listener... enough time to watch the full 3 hours of Hobbit Desolation of Smog.
Desolation of my time. It's more like it. Holy shit.
And we've already got differing opinions. Now, none of us saw it together, right? I took Ben.
I saw it with Brandon.
Okay.
From the store.
I was coming home from work, and it was just like last minute thing where it's like,
it
let's
fell
go
on
see
you.
It. Yeah, so I was like, all right, let's do this.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to see it. And then my brothers were like, hey, we're going to go see it. And then I went and did that.
Yeah, we still haven't seen Anchorman 2. We need to see
it. I heard that was Anchorman 1, just the same jokes. And
but that's the problem with comedy.
I heard it was Anchorman 1 with different jokes, and I'm fine with that.
I just want
to see 90 minutes of jokes.
Well, I want to see more just... You know, Ron Burgundy.
No, it was like 2 hours.
Wait, did you see it?
Oh, yeah, I could do that too.
No, my buddy at work saw it.
I saw it. I did not like Anchorman 1.
What?
I didn't like it.
I will say Anchorman 1 grew on me. I didn't like it so much
the first time I saw it with Brittany, and we were like dying in the theater laughing.
I thought Anchorman 1 was only funny because people couldn't quote from it. But Anchorman 2 was hilarious. There was times when I'm just like, I can't breathe.
I need to go.
Yeah.
So anyway,
but the Hobbit.
This is the Hobbit podcast. Yeah. Damn it!
I will say, I like the pace of this better. And I took Ben, who was 6, and he made it through Thor: Dark World. He said he wanted to see Hobbit, so I said, "Okay, let's try."
Did he see the first Hobbit
on Blu-ray at home? And
he wanted to see the second one.
Yeah, over a couple of days, he's seen all Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, but the Lord of the Rings is different than the Hobbit.
We watched the first Hobbit, and it took us a couple of days. Like, when I noticed he would start to get bored, I would turn it off. And we did that with Lord of the Rings. So he would do, like, an hour.
Yeah.
And then, like, a week later, I'd be like, you want to watch another hour? And he was fine with it. I've been trying to do that with Harry Potter, too. And he did the first two movies and then just kind of forgot about him.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that he wanted to go. And he was fine. We went to the bathroom twice during it. So we missed a couple of things, but nothing too major.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a big improvement over the first one.
I
would definitely say it's a better improvement because you don't have to sit through the
song.
Well, the songs, and then what's the dwarves where they have like a meal in real time? It's just like, I don't need to see 12 dwarves eat.
It is 40, almost an hour. Like it's 40 minutes or like 50 minutes, but it's like until Bilbo goes, all right, I'm taking off now. And I'm like, are you serious? I sat here for an hour, and now you're leaving the little Hobbit
all before you leave.
I think I mentioned it on the podcast before, but we were listening to the audiobook in March, and when we got to the point where the eagles come and save them from the tree, and that was 3 hours. So it took as long for someone to read you the book as it did to watch the movie.
Oh my
of
god!
Those
I forgot
chapters.
About that eagle stuff in the first one.
That's how it ends.
Yeah, you know what? I had a couple of problems with this Hobbit. I have a lot of problems with the Hobbit.
This Hobbit or with
but the ones that I'll mention are that I feel like there's a lot, like, the dragon looked awesome, but it seemed like the entire CGI budget for that movie went into making that dragon look great. And then, like, the orcs and Legolas jumping around fighting was like, what the hell?
Spiders look good.
The spiders, yeah, but I'm saying, like, Legolas fighting, like, hopping from, like, dwarf to dwarf or whatever. I was like, he looks so bogus.
That rabbit scene went on for a long time, and it didn't look...
It did not look good. It was entertaining. I mean...
It was entertaining. I mean,
it's either guys just going down a river in barrels, or it's... I mean, that was, like, the most exciting part of the whole movie.
No, it was there. Peter Jackson did that a lot in Lord of the Rings. A lot of scenes. Like, that whole staircase scene in Fellowship of the Ring, which is one of the best parts, is not in the book.
Which one's that?
When... right before the Balrog, when they're running from the orcs, and they go on the stairs, stairs start collapsing.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, but that was, like...
And that's not in the book, and that's a good... It's a good 5-10 minutes. It's long.
Yeah,
because, like, Aragorn and Frodo are, like, leaning and making it fall the right way, and they go down, like, a bunch of different ones.
That was really good, though.
Gimli says, no one tosses a dwarf.
Yeah, that's the
book. And then doesn't he get a good grab by the beard?
Yeah.
Not the beard!
Yeah, so he did make a lot of it.
It's fine. I just think by this point, here's the problem, and this is the person who hasn't ever read these books and probably never will, is... I saw 3 Lord of the Rings movies, and then I heard they were making Hobbit. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, one more, cool, great. Like, make one movie more. And then there were, like, 3 more Hobbit movies, and it's like, I don't care anymore. I stopped caring after Return of the King. That was... You'll never top Return of the King. Like, that was the end. And this big epic battle. It's like, I'm done with, like, Middle-earth, but they keep making these movies, and it's just like, what else do we need to see?
And these are all prequels, so my big question is... Does this start to push us into Star Wars territory?
Where
the first 3 are amazing.
I think these prequels are... They're definitely, if you compare, I think, even, like, what's left to do in this, there's one more big battle to do in the dragon fight, right?
That's the dragon fight, and then they got to do war. And then you told me...
Spoilers for the 3rd movie if you've never read the book or seen the animated version that Stu and I both love.
Yeah, that's a horrible movie, too. Listen, there's no such thing as spoilers for a book that's like 60 years old. If you're listening to this and you're concerned about spoilers, go fuck yourself, because, you know, that shit's historical.
Especially when you watch the Fellowship of the Ring, it's like that fucking book is older than my dad.
especially
in, like, Fellowship, they explain what happens in The Hobbit in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, Bilbo finds the ring.
Well, it's just a shot of Ian Holm with a rock behind him going, look, a ring.
Yeah, right.
Let's keep going.
And it's just like, fucking spoiler. The dragon dies.
Yeah. You know? It's like, there hasn't been a dragon scene in the past years.
Yeah.
Well, I think for the next one, they're going to have the big dragon fight, which that's going to eat up a lot of time and be probably cinematically crazy.
Yeah, but that'll be awesome. And that'll be, you know, that's the reason I'm going to go see the next movie. Yeah.
And then there's going to be this huge battle of 5
which
armies.
Which I think is going to be like a Minas Tirith sized battle.
Yes.
Easily.
Which one was Minas Tirith?
That was where they stormed the city in Return of the King, and that was like an hour.
That old guy tried to cook himself or his son or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Like that whole battle.
Okay.
You know, and they
disc
have...
2 of the extended
edition. Right. All of disc 2.
We're watching the extended editions in the theater, though. That's...
Yeah.
And then you still have Gandalf's in Dol Guldur, and you're going to have Galadriel come, because according to the books, him and Galadriel and Radagast and the Council of White destroy Dol Guldur and, like, fight Sauron, are going to have this big battle where that whole fortress is going to be destroyed.
Okay. And that's... They're fighting,
that's
in appendixes of
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, in Lord of the Rings, the appendixes, at the end, it's like half of Return of the King. It's just all... Basically, everything that happens between Hobbit and Lord of the Rings and, like, bridges those 2 books together.
Yeah.
And apparently he shot a lot of that.
Well, somebody was saying, maybe it was Stu, you were saying there's like 8 hours of footage for the Battle of Helm's Deep that they just can't...
They've got so much footage from, like, all the previous Lord of the Rings movies, because I just went on a big tear after seeing the movie of... I just reread Hobbit. I started to reread Lord of the Rings, but this time I read the appendixes first, which I always want to do.
I never finished the appendixes, because I'm always so emotionally drained by the end of the story that I'm like, a couple pages, oh, look, Aragorn and Gollum fought. That's interesting, and then I always put it down.
Aragorn fights Gollum on his own?
Well, Aragorn and Gandalf are out searching for Gollum, because they know he's connected to the ring.
Okay. This is like when Gandalf's like, I looked everywhere for the creature called Gollum.
Yep. Yes.
He went with Aragorn?
Yes. Yeah,
Aragorn. Yeah, Aragorn. Yeah. See, that'd be cool.
Because Aragorn's the best ranger in the world. So he's like, I got to find somebody in Middle Earth.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Did he knew that he was like the descendant of...
Yes.
Gandalf knew?
Yes.
Gandalf knows a lot of stuff. Fails to tell
not
anybody.
Not only that, and I did like that scene. It opens in the second scene with a scene that's not in the book of like when Gandalf and Thorin meet. And he's just like, he's in that same bar in Bree.
Yeah.
Prancing Pony.
And Peter Jackson burps again. The Prancing Pony. And like Thorin's just ready to fight guys because apparently that's all he does. He just shows up and he's a dwarf and guys try to fight him.
Yeah.
And Gandalf is just like, oh, would you like something to eat? And he's like, you're Thorin and you're going to get a killer dragon.
I just think like if Gandalf knows all this shit, like, couldn't he just have like a meeting of all these people and be like, all right, look, some shit is going to happen, guys.
No.
And here's what you need to know.
That's what the Council of Elrond is in Lord of the
Rings. Why doesn't he
get everybody together and like, look, here's a ring. What are we going to do?
Well,
yeah, but go ahead, Stu.
Gandalf and the Istari, like the wizards, and they are as powerful as Sauron, but by rule, they can't use their powers. Like, they can't meet force with force. They have to, like, influence people and
learn. They have to, like, be cunning.
Yes. They're like the doctor.
Okay. Yes. Like they can't meet power with power. They have meets everything as with force. Much raw power, but they can't. They're forbidden from using it where mortal eyes would see it. Because they can't just like, hey, I'm a freaking demigod. Listen to what I say.
Yeah. So he's got to like inspire people instead of command people.
It has
people.
To be, you know, free will has to be. I mean,
that's interesting
that
and that's cool, but I think they're fighting the necromancer, which I guess is Saruman's ghost. Sauron.
It's Sauron before he goes back to Mordor.
Okay. Right. Where is.
Sauron's weak.
Wait, okay. Is that his spirit?
Yes.
Yeah,
so can the Ghostbusters defeat him?
Yes, if it was 1980s New York.
Yes.
What? Wait, I have
is
a real
that
question.
Where that girl came from?
Yes, that is where the Keymaster leads to.
Yeah, Gozer is another name for Sauron.
Gozer is Sauron?
Yes.
This is awesome.
The evil wizard from the second movie, the Christopher Lee?
Yes, Saruman.
Is he a good guy in this Hobbit?
Right now, he is still... They think of him as a good guy, but he knows that the ring isn't lost. He's secretly searching for it himself and... Basically, being an all-around
yeah, they don't know
bag.
He's evil until he attacks Gandalf in the first Lord of the Rings. He's taken so by surprise.
But isn't he going to be part of the team that Gandalf, like Gandalf's Justice League, to go fight the Necromancer?
Yes.
So he's going to be in the next movie.
I love that you just said Justice League and Gandalf because I am set.
But you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Gandalf's awesome. Justice League. That's
immediately
his League of Magic.
Immediately, my man went Blue Beetle and Booster Gold or Merry and Pippin
nice.
In the Gandalf Justice League.
I want that movie to happen.
Dude,
I will watch three movies of that.
I think the Fellowship is kind of the Justice League.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Because there's 12? How many people in the Fellowship? Nine of them?
Nine.
I always think like 7 to, you know, 11, 12 is a good number.
I think 6 is a good team number.
You know,
I always go seven
or higher.
Like the John Byrne X-Men, I feel like. You kind of had everybody covered.
Yeah, but you know what John Byrne's X-Men needed? They needed Sunfire to stick around. Yeah. I don't think Warpath would have died or Thunderbird, if Sunfire was on that team.
Which was killed by Nefaria.
Count Nefaria. You know what?
He's not an X-Men villain.
And no. I was reading something recently.
That
Avengers book where they fight Nefaria for the first time, and he's just like wasting them, and then Beast is part of that fight, and he's like, hey, you know, he goes after him. He's like, this is for Thunderbird, and he's like, who? He's like, you killed him. He's like, oh, yeah, back in the day, I did blow him up out of a plane. Yeah, he sucked. And he like throws Beast through a wall.
I haven't read that. Are those like the George Perez Avengers?
No.
It was right where George Perez came back. That was right.
Yeah,
when
George.
He came back.
Oh, the Kurt Busiek run?
No. This is like 70s Perez, okay. And it's 80s.
Jim Shooter.
Shooter.
George Perez.
It's basically it's the first time they give Nefaria Superman powers.
I don't think I ever read that far in Avengers. I read like the first 200
It's
issues.
Really good, and it's they got some Ultron stuff in there.
This also shows how OCD I am. You know, I'm not a huge Avengers fan, and I just said, I've only read the first 200 issues.
Yes.
Right.
But it had like Graviton was in that
read them
story
and did
arc.
Not enjoy them. I was like, all right, this is...
Oh, I love that
Quicksilver's
stuff.
Very upset.
He's upset on the whole time. But anyway, so it's got Nefaria in it, and he's just like, he wastes Thor, he fights like Captain America, and this is something me and Dave were talking about. Any fight that like the Avengers get in, it's usually like a huge powerful guy like Nefaria or Thanos or somebody.
Yeah, because they're the top power in the Marvel
right.
Universe.
Right, but then it's like... Amongst that fight, it's like one big bad guy, and then they're fighting Thor, and they're fighting the Hulk, and they're fighting Hyperion, whoever. And then in the middle of all these guys
Captain
that can move
America.
Planets, Captain America's fighting, and he's holding his own, and he has no idea he's out of place. He has no idea he's just a dude with a shield.
Because he's got that American attitude.
That's why he's the Batman of the Avengers.
And I think that's awesome work.
There's times when you're just like, if one bad guy just connected with Captain America's jaw, his head would
he's
be
dead. Well, think about it.
That's what makes me like Captain America more, because that bad guy will never connect with the jaw. Because you know what? Shield! Up!
Right.
Shield! Are you coming to
but
here?
But that's
shield,
the thing.
Up,
and this isn't a new idea. If you read Infinity Gauntlet or Secret Wars, same thing. In the end of Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos pretty much kills Thor, kills Wolverine, kills the Hulk, kills Silver Surfer. He's already fought the Eternals and Galactus, and the last person he's fighting is fucking Captain America, who doesn't know that he's a million miles away from Earth, and no one knows what America means out there. Yeah. And then if you read Secret Wars, it's the same shit. Doom kills everybody. He's got Galactus and Beyonder's powers. And the last person is fucking Captain America with a broken shield. And he's Doom's just like, I figured it'd be you. And it's just like, of course. But back to The Hobbit. Because
he's got that American know-how.
Which, Gandalf's pretty much the Captain America of The Hobbit, I feel.
No, wait. I think Aragorn is the Captain
America. It's Aragorn, yeah. Because he's got the broken sword.
He's not in The Hobbit. Well, that's the thing. If they really wanted to, like, there's a lot of stuff. I just watched all the extra stuff from the first Hobbit movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that they filmed in Rivendell that they never showed in the movie, like the Shards of Narsil.
Yeah, that's
Aragorn's
sword.
That's
an extended edition.
That's just 10 minutes,
when is that coming out?
It's out. I have it.
What?
It came out right before the movie came out. I found it at Costco. It has like an extra 15 minutes.
Stu needs this. Look at him. He's so disturbed by this.
Is it worth the Stu does not want to finish the podcast. He almost got up and walked to Best Buy.
The movie is 3 hours. Why do you need an extra?
That's what I say. And you know my brother's.
See, that's my problem with it. I feel like the theatrical edition should have been like 2:15, and then this extended edition.
Yeah, exactly.
The extra 45.
And I could have sat through it. Like my brother's.
It felt like I love the extended editions of Lord of the Rings because it's more of the book, because the book's 1,500 pages long if you put all three of those books together.
Yeah.
Hobbit's 300 pages long. So every extended scene in Lord of the Rings is more of that book I love.
Right.
In The Hobbit, every extended scene is something they thought might happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, like my brothers try to do this every year where they want to watch, like around Christmas time, Thanksgiving, they want to watch all the extended editions back to back in like one sitting of like Lord of the Rings.
And it's possible.
I did it in the movie theater.
It's over 12 hours of film, and I can't sit still for 12 minutes, let alone, you know what I mean? It's like, I can't do it. But every year, they're like, hey, when are you going to come over? When are we going to do The Hobbit? And it's like, I got shit to do, man. I got a job.
When Return of the King came out, we got tickets for all three, and this was in Times Square. We all took the day off. It was like a Wednesday. We went to Times Square at 9 in the morning, and then they showed the extended editions on the big screen. So you watch 4 hours of Fellowship, then they gave you an hour break. Where we got there, we didn't camp out overnight.
Yeah.
So we were like in the front row. So like we immediately went to like the Mexican restaurant and had like two margaritas to loosen up the neck muscles. Then we went back and 4 hours of Two Towers.
How long in between the movies do they give you?
An hour.
Okay.
So you have a break to like get real food, so you're not just eating popcorn all day and throwing up. And then it was the premiere of Return of the King. And the best part of it, since we're in Times Square and we're in the front row, all of a sudden Andy Serkis and the Hobbits walk out.
Awesome.
Because they're all doing like Conan and Letterman.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, we're in the neighborhood. We think this movie's going to be good. And since we're in the front row, they're standing where you're standing.
That's awesome.
And they're all our height.
Oh, yeah, because they're all little people. Yeah,
that's why you're like so critical of this movie.
You know what? It was
every...
Asshole.
You're
a Hobbit. You are a Hobbit.
Listen,
it was everybody but Merry, because Dominic Monaghan was already making Lost.
Okay.
So he was in Hawaii.
Is on tour with Drive Shaft.
Yeah.
Yes. Is the
everybody.
when they showed those extended editions, was the Return of the King the extended edition, or was it the regular?
No,
theatrical?
It was the regular theatrical because it premiered that day.
Okay, so they didn't have a cut of that.
There was still 3 hours.
Like the extended edition, with
but that
endings.
Was yeah. But
that ending scene is absurd in that movie. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Return of the King.
There was like 13 fake endings before the real ending. It was ridiculous.
And they left out the biggest one.
Which is the biggest one?
The Scouring of the Shire.
Yeah, they leave out the final chapter. They never shot the final chapter.
Wait, isn't that supposed to be like men show up to the Shire and just destroy it?
What happens in the book is Saruman doesn't die.
What?
Yeah. Saruman doesn't die at first. He doesn't die in Isengard. Well, they leave him and they go to Minas Tirith. He runs over to Hobbiton and he just takes over Hobbiton. He's like a total supervillain. He's like, well, I'll take over this little cup. And he enslaves all the hobbits. So when the four hobbits come back, it's like a Sergio Leone movie. Because they're like, oh, we're home. We're back and everything's normal. They're like... Uh-oh.
And then there's the Shire, like, burned to the ground?
Shire, like, burned to the ground. They're all in chains. And, like, Saruman's taking over. And then the four of them are like, we just beat Sauron. And then they attack him. He dies in Hobbiton.
The Hobbits kill that guy?
The Hobbits don't...
Grima kills... Grima Wormtongue kills Saruman.
And that happens in the movie, but instead of it happening on Isengard, it happens in Hobbiton.
So wait, what's his name? Wormtongue show up in Hobbiton?
He
goes with Saruman.
And he betrays him?
Yeah.
And then what happens to that guy?
He gets then killed by the hobbits.
Okay, now, but in the movie, he just stabs...
He stabs Saruman.
Him in Isengard, and Saruman falls down.
Who was telling me, because Christopher Lee used to be, like, a spy, like, in real life, yep, yeah. that, like, he in was,
World
like...
World War
II. Right, he was like, well, when you stab somebody in the back, you should... It goes like this. And he was, like, describing how to stab somebody in the back.
And he was describing the noise a person
yeah.
makes.
Yeah, and everyone was like, what? Because he did all this crazy spy shit, and he's probably stabbed, like, yep. a Nazi or two in the back.
Yep.
It's like, how fucking
crazy. That makes me like Man with the Golden Gun a little bit more.
A little bit more.
I was like, yeah, you could handle James Bond.
Yep.
Doesn't he play Dracula? And
he
like,
does.
He's played all these he's awesome
been in,
villains.
Well, he's been in every franchise, because he's been Dracula, he's been Sherlock Holmes... no, he was Mycroft in Sherlock yeah. Holmes, who was played by Mark Gatiss in the Benedict Cumberbatch version. He's in Star Wars. He's in Lord of the Rings. He's
crazy.
He's in a couple of Tim Burton movies.
Has he ever been in Doctor Who?
I feel like he has.
But can he be the master?
I was going to say, I don't know much about Doctor Who, but he should be the master.
Yeah. I feel like he should do a voice.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Speaking of voices, yeah. I gotta say the dragon as the Benedict Cumberbatch was is... Awesome. That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. And there was a nice little moment where in the middle of the scene, and the scene's long and it's good.
Yeah.
It's as good as the Gollum scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I compared to.
There's a moment where, like, his voice is heavily affected. Like, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's pitch shifted and it's got a lot of reverb. It's hard to tell it's him, but every now and then he does an inflection that sounds like him, and I'm like, yeah. oh, it's just Sherlock talking to Watson, except Sherlock's a giant dragon.
And Watson is a little hobbit.
Yeah. Right?
That was the scene that I went and saw this movie for, because, like, out of the animated movie,
that's how I felt about Gollum in the first one.
Okay, yeah, I mean, because it's that dragon scene, like, they had every line of dialogue except for one from the book that the dragon had, which was, like, I was super happy with, mm-hmm. and they added one distinct line of dialogue, which I thought was awesome.
What was it?
When he comes up on Bilbo, and he says, you carry something made of gold.
Oh, right.
Oh, he knows he has the ring.
More precious.
Yeah, that was cool. Right. Well, because in the Hobbit... Tolkien didn't have the idea for Lord of the Rings yet. Mm-hmm. So the ring is just a magic ring that turns you invisible. So so it's not really evil. And it's so since Peter Jackson's already made Lord of the Rings, he added things. And there's a lot of stuff in the Gollum scene. Yes. There's a scene between Bilbo and Gandalf where he almost admits he has the ring, but doesn't.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because they're already starting to play that he's getting addicted to this evil ring.
Yeah,
but it,
which is cool. But in the original Hobbit, it's just a magic ring.
No, in the original... In fact, in the first printing of the Hobbit...
The first printing, it was written completely different. The whole riddle with Gollum scene, or Riddles in the Dark, that whole chapter was completely written differently.
Mm-hmm.
Then they told him, okay, do Lord of the Rings.
In fact, in the original Hobbit, Gollum gives him the ring for winning the riddles.
Yeah.
You are very good at riddles.
Here's a present.
Here's a ringsies. And then when he decided to do Lord of the Rings, he was like, oh, I'll write a sequel, and it's about that ring, and that ring is evil. He was like, I gotta rewrite this.
Yeah, thing. Okay.
Because why would Gollum give it up?
Yeah.
But he used that story rewrite as that's the story that Bilbo told everybody because he was jealous of, didn't want to make it seem
and
like
the ring
he
was
stole the
him.
Ring.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's a cool, he makes it work in its own story.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good rewrite. Take notes, writers of comic books. This is how you do a rewrite.
This is how you retcon things. Right?
Yeah. I mean, this whole story is like what Bilbo is writing, which at the beginning of the first Hobbit, it's like him preparing his memoirs, which is what this whole story of The Hobbit and then eventually Lord of the Rings gets combined into one big volume.
Yeah.
And in Return of the King, Bilbo gives Frodo that book and says, you continue.
And then doesn't Frodo give it to Sam?
Frodo writes Lord of the Rings in the same book.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah, and then Sam gives it to Sam, and then...
He gives it to Sam when he leaves on the ships.
And then Sam gives it to... his descendants and Merry and Pippin do the final versions when they go back and they eventually live in Rohan and Gondor where they die after.
So it's got a lot of drafts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appendices.
There's a lot to it.
Gives you like another 100 years.
All right. So they finish, say they finish The Hobbit.
Like the Bible.
Do you think
people just keep writing books?
It is very biblical.
It's the second most read book outside of the Lord of the Rings is the second most read book outside of the Bible.
It had an enormous spike when the movies came out too, because it had already sold like 50 million copies before the Peter Jackson movies, and then it exploded.
Well, my theory for at the end of the third one, it's going to go back to how it was the prologue, where it's just Bilbo preparing for like when Frodo's waiting for Gandalf.
Preparing for the party.
Right?
Yeah.
But you're going to see some of the surviving dwarves back at Bag End bringing toys and firecrackers and all this new stuff from that rebuilt for Bilbo's
party. Okay, that's cool. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, but then, all right, so they do the next Hobbit movie, they kill the dragon, they do the army and all that stuff. Well, then, do you think he's going to make, is there another movie that Peter Jackson's going to try to make?
No. He didn't want to make this one. And and that's the problem I still find with The Hobbit compared to Lord of the Rings. I get the impression, and I've said this before when we've talked about the first movie, I get the impression that his heart's not in this one like Lord of the Rings. I feel like Peter Jackson loves the Lord of the Rings more than he loves Tolkien. Yeah. And he really wanted Del Toro to do it. But the rights kept getting pushed back. This was supposed to come out in like 2006. And Guillermo was just waiting.
When did the last Lord of the Rings movie come out?
2003.
The last Lord of the Rings came out 2003?
10 years ago.
No, it didn't. Towers came out in 2003.
No. Two Towers came out in 2002.
Well, I was just
It was 2001. The Fellowship came out.
I'm sorry. Return of the King is 2003?
Yeah, Fellowship came out right after 9/11. That was like the first thing to happen in America that people felt good about.
They filmed Lord of the Rings 11 years ago, or like 11 or 12 years ago, where now they're filming Hobbit.
Yeah.
I was watching the thing. They had Elijah Woods back in Hobbiton, and he's just like, wow, the last time I was here, I was 19.
Yeah.
I'm 31 now.
Wow.
I feel old.
Too bad he looks the same.
And Ian Holm looked older. The scene of Christopher Lee, Christopher Lee's 92 years old. That scene, that's the only scene they shot in England because he can't fly. So they went up to him, and if you watch that scene again,
he doesn't move.
He doesn't get out of that chair.
No.
So how is he gonna? Oh, they'll have like a stunt guy or something, like with like a wig on.
I mean, and
if he fights,
Well, and if he is gonna be in the council, he's the one that lets Sauron slip back to Mordor, where it's like they were all destroying everything, and he's just like, "Hey, here you go, just go out
this
the back
way,
door."
Dark Lord.
So then maybe that's where he like
he just lifts up a bush.
He like sweeps him under.
Necromancer.
All right, so then maybe you think this is like the studios being like, hey, we're running out of like Harry Potter movies, we need a big.
It's exactly what it is.
And they're like, stretch this shit out, make it into three movies.
You look at it from Warner Brothers' perspective, Harry Potter is done.
Yeah.
J.K. Rowling's writing something else, but if she comes back, who knows, it's going to be a different franchise.
Well, didn't she announce she's going to start the adult version of Harry Potter?
Like an adult, like a porno, or an adult like their own?
I heard it was like different stories set in that world. So it's almost like she's writing Nightwing now.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, you know why? Because she wrote another book and no one else gave the shit.
Yeah.
So she's like, oh,
he doesn't strike twice.
I got to pay for this castle.
It's like, it's like Stephanie Myers had that the host come out last year, and it was like nobody saw it. And she's like, more Twilight.
Yeah.
But you know, Harry Potter's done. They've lost Harry Potter. They can't make DC work.
No.
You know, because the thing is, Man of Steel did better than Superman Returns, so now they're...
David looked in the numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Man of Steel didn't do as good as Superman Returns or either Wolverine movie.
Ooh.
Both Wolverine movies did more money than Superman.
The Wolverine movie this year...
Both of them.
Beat Man of Steel.
Well, Wolverine Origins made a lot of money, and Wolverine didn't make as much, because...
No, Wolverine beat Man of Steel.
This one in Japan.
Made more money than Man of Steel, and I think the problem
is... In America or internationally?
International.
Gross. That's what counts.
Yeah.
But we're thinking it's because like people waited like 30 years or 20 years or whatever from Superman 4 to Superman Returns. And people didn't like what they got.
Superman 4 is like 87.
Yeah.
And then
Superman Returns like 2004 or 5, something like that. Maybe 6.
2006, I think.
But it was... People waited so long to the anticipation for that movie so high, and then it didn't do that great.
And it was Bryan Singer, who had just made both X-Men.
Yeah, then I think with this movie, everyone's like, oh, we saw Superman recently. Well, it's a reboot. It's the same thing with like the Spider-Man reboot happened. Everyone's like, oh, we just saw a first Spider-Man movie. It wasn't that long ago.
That's still a fatal mistake.
But the one thing that
if it was just him fighting Lizard, I think it would have done better.
You don't need to tell the origin. It's like, he gets bit by a spider. I get it.
Yeah.
And it's like, how many of the superhero movies always have to be the origin? It's like the Tim Burton movie. 2 minutes, like we said.
Yeah, if you watch that first Batman, flashback. They don't really even have the origin so much that. Didn't they say the third Batman wanted to do the origin
of his parents being shot, and they're shot by Joker.
Yeah,
which makes sense for that movie, but if you're building a franchise, it makes no sense.
When it opens with like the mirroring image of the parents.
Yeah, you think you're getting it, right? Yeah. And that's great. But like
Batman,
I said,
and Batman saves them.
Yes,
you know, but they don't.
No, actually, doesn't save them. He just gets the buggers later.
Yes,
but you just think it's something where it's like you don't want to waste time. doing like the origin. Even like you think the Joker just shows up. You never get an origin for the Joker like you do with all these other villains.
In the Tim Burton movie, you do, not in Dark Knight.
That's what I'm saying. In Dark Knight, he just shows up, and it's probably like the best on screen villain performance in any comic book movie. Yeah. You know, and there's no origin.
Well, and look at Green Lantern. Green Lantern spent so much time on their origin that they had Sinestro and didn't make him the villain.
Yeah.
It's like having Joker. And
yeah, but like, I like that. I would have liked more in Green Lantern if Sinestro and him are like, it's like a buddy cop movie, not a comedy, but like an action
training
movie.
Training Day in Space.
Yeah, Training Day in Space.
And that's what the animated movie is. That's awesome. If they had done the first flight script,
yeah.
Just like if they had done Gail Simone's Wonder Woman animated script, those movies would have been hits.
Yep. And think about that. Just think if it was Hal and Sinestro out in space fighting whoever, Mongol or whatever you want, and then
Atrocitus.
Vocal. Yeah, sure.
I've heard that Geoff Johns' Secret Origin was his treatment.
I heard that movie. Too. And how much better would it have been then for Sinestro to turn bad and then them fight in the sequel?
Yeah.
But
yeah, and that's what they thought, which is why they had Sinestro do nothing, and then the post credit sequence is, I have a yellow suit
for no reason.
But for no reason, and now we're not gonna see that sequel. Just
Before
Rise of Silver Surfer.
They said because right when Man of Steel came out, the first week Man of Steel came out, Ryan Reynolds was attached to like some like He-Man movie script or something crazy. Like he was gonna do this big film.
Yeah.
And then when the week Superman premiered, he dropped out of that film very suddenly. And everyone thought they were gonna announce a sequel to Green Lantern because of how Superman did.
But also,
maybe it didn't do as well.
It's possible Ryan Reynolds could just show up in this Justice League Man of Steel sequel as Green Lantern.
But you also have to take account that this past summer, Ryan Reynolds came out in 3 movies
and they all bombed.
That's, I think, and you know
one
what?
Was animated.
He had 3.
Yeah. And it bombed.
Turbo.
Okay.
R.I.P.D.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
with Jeff Bridges, and that bombed.
Yeah.
Did anyone see that?
No.
Yeah. We were all excited to see it because it looked like Men in Black with ghosts.
Yeah.
And then it was like, everybody's like, don't see it. The same thing with Lone Ranger. We were very excited about Lone Ranger. We're going to do a whole cowboy podcast before, and then a review, and then it was like, please don't see this movie.
Yeah.
We'll do it when the DVD came and went, too.
The DVD's out now. We can do it right now.
Yeah, I have little interest in it.
Me too.
Maybe I'll get a...
What was the third Ryan Reynolds movie?
What was the third Ryan Reynolds? I feel like it was a comic.
Oh, wasn't he buried in a coffin or something?
Buried? Well, that was an indie movie. And that came out in January. Same year, though, but I heard it was great. I can't even think of the third one, and I know there was
He had a lot of bombs to the point where they're like, he's box office poison. Like, they just don't want to go with him.
Yeah, it was a bad summer for Ryan Reynolds.
So you think, back to going
And I remember when Amy Patrick was on the show and she was talking about Green Lantern, she goes, I know there's a lot of people employed in the let's keep Ryan Reynolds famous profession.
Yeah.
And every time I see Ryan Reynolds, I just think of that.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, there's a lot. And it reminds me, I was listening to Timothy Oliphant, who's the star of Justified.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On The Nerdist. And he says when these things happen, like, it just becomes an industry around you, but it's not about you.
What do you mean? Like,
he said, like, there was a moment where he was going to be the next guy. Like, Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Like, he was in Deadwood before he was in Justified. He's in, like, Die Hard 4. He's the villain in Die Hard 4.
He's the villain in The Girl Next Door.
He's in a lot of stuff, and he's great. He's always really good. And he said there was a point where, like, they were setting him up to be the next Brad Pitt, the next Ryan Reynolds, and one of his friends told him, he goes, just remember, it's not even about you. He's like, well, it's kind of about me. It is me. He's like, no, it's not about you. They need a guy.
Yeah.
It's like the machine needs a guy. They want to put you in that machine.
So what happened? Did he not become that guy? Machine.
I don't know. He didn't quite. I think
he didn't take. I mean, I know Justified is still going on, right?
Yeah, Justified's going to start their new season.
No, I think it already started.
It's in January.
Yeah,
my folks are watching that.
And Justified is fantastic.
Man, my parents love it. They say it's awesome.
You would like it a lot
because it's Western, right?
It's the Western show. It's better than
it's a Western and a. It's like half Western and half crime drama because it's created by Elmore Leonard, who did a lot of Westerns, but he also did Get Shorty.
Yeah.
And Jackie Brown.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So it's got like, it's got that tone to it.
Okay.
It's a
I've seen some of it. It's really got like that really tall Swedish guy in it who's like the villain. Am I thinking of the right show?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hell on Wheels.
Neil McDonough, who's just, no.
Is that the same show?
Well, Neil McDonough was.
What am I thinking of?
The guy who was Dum Dum Dugan in Captain America.
Nope.
Everyone's okay. A tall Swede. Well, he was
the
villain.
No, he's like, they call him the Swedish guy or they call him the Swede.
Now I have no idea who you're talking
about. I think that's a show called Hell on Wheels. It's about like a train. I'm totally thinking of a different show this whole time. So this guy I've been picturing.
That's the old West. Justified is present day.
Oh, then I have totally got the wrong show.
It's got the Green Goblin face on the front of the semi-truck, that one.
You know what?
Overdrive.
I don't know what you guys are talking about anymore.
Let's go back to the Hobbit.
I'm doing my own podcast. All right.
We got lost in the weeds.
I know how to get us back. All right. So Warner Brothers is freaking out because they can't get DC shit together.
Right. They can't get DC together. They don't have Harry Potter.
And they're done with the Hobbit.
Here's a crazy idea.
Okay. Can maybe they just start coming up with their own original screenplays again like we used to do?
We haven't done that in like 20 years.
No.
There hasn't been an original.
But you know what? But all geeks like us are so excited every year because every summer it's like, oh, it's the Avengers and it's Hulk and it's Green Lantern. It's everything I wanted to see.
I think we talked about all the movies coming out this year. It's kind of ridiculous because you're getting X-Men, Spider-Man, Captain America, and Guardians of the Galaxy. That's four.
You're getting more than that. You're getting Godzilla.
The year after that is going to be even more insane because it's going to be like Avengers 3. It's going to be Man of Steel sequel.
Yeah.
Star Wars is supposed to be ready by then.
Star Wars is going to be ready? Anyone find out if my boy's coming back?
The thing is, it's just like no one has seen any footage or photos and they're already like, it's going to blow up. I think it's going to be okay.
Star Wars.
I think the first episode
one was also Star Wars.
No, but think of how much money that made.
People are just going to lose their mind, and it's going to be
the first movie people are going to go see in droves. Depending on how it does, we'll see how the rest of them do. Is Han Solo coming back?
Yes,
right.
Is he? He's confirmed.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Han Solo is still Han Solo.
He was confirmed, and then he was like, "Hey, wait, we didn't sign anything yet." And then
he was confirmed.
Then a couple weeks later, Disney announced that they had all the rights to Indiana Jones.
That's what I've been telling people is like they weren't going to confirm Han Solo because I bet you he's playing the cards where it's like I'll come back if I could do Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he wants because to. Remember, isn't that how and they I'm got sure him to he, do Han Solo in the first place? He didn't want to do Han Solo, and then George Lucas dangled the Indiana Jones script and says like, "Do Han Solo, or you can't play Indy." And he's like, "Fuck," because he doesn't like the Han Solo character.
That was in Return of the Jedi. Yeah,
yeah.
In Star Wars, he was just happy to work.
Yeah.
You know, and
he didn't want to come back to do Han.
He didn't want to do Han.
He told George Lucas, he's like, you basically killed me off in Empire. Let me be dead.
He wanted to die in the carbonite.
He wanted to not come out of the carbonite. And then when he came out of the carbonite, he's like, how about you come out of the carbonite and then kill me? He didn't want to be in it at all.
Yeah.
Once he got Indiana Jones, he was like, I will make as many of these movies as you want.
Oh, well, who the fuck wouldn't want it, right?
And that's why I'm so excited about Disney, because Lucas is not involved.
Yes.
And you know meetings have already taken place of Disney sitting down with Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg going, so what do you guys want to do?
How do we fix this? All right, how old is Han?
He's nearing 70, but he still looks good.
Because I'm just thinking he needs to start playing it like a grizzled, older...
He did in Crystal Skull.
No, I know, but like he needs to be like more mean and tough, I feel like.
Yeah, because it's going
to
be 5 years. It's going to be at least five, 6 years after Crystal
Skull. He needs
to
be the cowboy that he was in Cowboy and Aliens.
Yes, that's kind of what I want. It's like the Cowboy Alien or like a Clint Eastwood type character.
Cowboys and Aliens has so many things I like, and none of them come together.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
I want to watch it again because I'm like, it has James Bond and Indiana Jones in the Old West fighting aliens.
Just re-edit it yourself. You can make it a better movie.
Yeah, fan edit. That's what we need to do.
Throw in some Godzilla. Throw in like some Pacific Rim in there. It'll work.
I always want, fan edit.
10 minutes, Bilbo gets out. 5 minutes later, they defeat the trolls. 10 minutes after that, the dragon.
I feel like you could fan edit that into one movie because, you know, the animated movie is like an hour 10.
Yeah.
And that to me, growing up, was always like, that was the whole story.
You know what's crazy about The Hobbit? They're just going on one trip. They're like just walking pretty much in a straight line, and shit just keeps happening to them.
But that's a good story. I just think dragging that shit out for six, eight hours is ridiculous.
What I love is they get lost in this forest. Before they get lost in the forest, they dealt with the trolls. They fought those rock giants, whatever, and then
the goblins in the mountain pass.
Then they deal with they're being chased by the goblins, kidnapped by elves, get out of all that shit, pay all this money to like Bard,
get out of Lake Town.
And then they go.
Forgot about Bjorn. Bjorn turns into a giant bear.
Bjorn. He's
not in the animated version.
I know.
They find the staircase. They get to the door. The sun's still out, and they're like, I can't find the keyhole.
And then 10 minutes later, they're just like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, seriously. Even in the theater, I was like, this wasn't just like just this movie you guys were dealing with shit. You did all this shit in the first movie.
They've been walking for a year.
Right. The door is locked, and they're just like, fuck this, I'm going home. And it's like, are you kidding me?
I'm like, what if, can't you just go the other way? Like the original entrance, just send Bilbo that way?
I think the original entrance is through Smaug's face.
Yeah.
That's the problem with the original entrance.
But seriously, all that shit
That's why they got the burglar.
Like, they didn't take, like a minute on that fucking mountain cliff to figure that out. They were just like, fuck it, let's go. It's like, are you kidding me?
Dwarves are hot-headed.
Yeah. No,
it's just that I sat there for like 4 hours. I was pissed and didn't stick around because I was like, you shitting me.
If I spent an hour looking for the keyhole, I probably would have thrown the key down and went, well, I guess I just don't get the gold then.
That's awful.
What does that say about your people? You're just like, you're like, you will go 4 hours, walk for a year, deal with all this shit. Can't find the keyhole? Fuck it.
Fuck it. Oh.
And it's like, what are you going to do?
This is why the dwarves are so low on the like rung of like people in Middle Earth, because they fucking can't complete. They can't follow through.
They're going to go back to Lake Town, become busboys.
Yeah.
What was their
point? Here's some old fish.
What were they going to do if they couldn't get in? Like, what was the story going to be? Like, well, there's still that bounty on my head.
Yeah.
I guess I'll like
go take care of that.
Oh, real quick. In Middle Earth, I never saw a colored person. Lake Town, I see three of them. I was like, where were they in all of Middle Earth?
In Lake Town.
Here's the other thing.
I guess so.
No, the Harad that attacked Minas Tirith on the backs of the Oliphants.
Well, they were all Arab.
And they
got into a lot of trouble because of that.
So what does that say?
But that's also the way Tolkien wrote it. It was that people in the north had lighter skin than people in the south. However, he wrote that all the people in the north were good and all the people in the south were bad.
Right. Well, even think about
a lot of the way they used to talk about America in the 60s.
It's that joke about like Star Wars. You know, John's a little kid and, you know, your dad says, oh, you want to grow up, you like Star Wars. Who do you want to be like when you grow up? And you say, oh, I want to be like Han Solo. Okay, well, pretend Han Solo doesn't exist. Now who do you want to be? Oh, I want to be Luke Skywalker. Oh, that's great. Pretend Luke doesn't exist. Who do you want to be? Oh, I want to be like Chewbacca. Okay, cool. Now you're a little girl, and it says, all right, little girl, you like Star Wars, grow up, who do you want to be? I want to be like Princess Leia. Okay, pretend Princess Leia doesn't exist. Who do you want to be like? There's nobody else.
Yeah. Wait, why in the scenario did they keep taking away my choices?
No, I'm just saying.
I want to be like Han Solo. No.
But there's other choices. That's the point. There's other choices. Watch Lord of the Rings. There's like two girls in that entire movie. Elves. And they're made-up characters.
No, there is that one Hobbit girl that Sam marries.
Yeah, yeah. She's memorable.
But she looked like the second roommate.
Tell me about that character, John.
She was a barmaid, and she had a nice smile, and she looked like the
she had ribbons in her hair.
She looked like the second roommate in Three's Company. That's why I remember her. Oh, when they replaced Suzanne Summers.
The kind of character you look Jenny up to, Harrison. You want to emulate.
The kind of character I thought was weirdly hot when I was 9.
Mm-hmm. You know what character you do want to look up to that's a female?
That's why they keep adding female characters.
That's what I'm saying. It's a sexist text.
What was
Well, it was also written by an old man in the 30s.
Who is writing fantasy where you can create an entire new world, and he decides to be like blatantly
before women's lib.
But that's what I'm saying.
He was an Oxford professor. Not even a lot of women were going to Oxford.
I'm just saying he has a chance to create like an entirely new world, and he's just like, nope, sexist rules as the old one.
Tolkien's work was all like a prehistory of England. It was England's mythology. So it was how things existed beforehand, like before organized English, you know, history. So it's, if anything, he gave the women of that time more freedom than they should have had.
I just feel like we could have had the same movie, thing with like George Lucas and his sexist Star Wars.
And
like,
one
we could use a few more characters, even if it's just, you know,
in Indiana Jones are pretty badass.
That's true. Well, except for that second movie with that annoying girl that needed to die.
But she married Spielberg and lived a happy life and didn't act anymore.
Thank God.
Eowyn's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, but isn't she a made-up character?
No, no, she Eowyn's kills the Witch King. I am no man.
Yeah, and that's in the book.
Okay, I'll give you that. All right. One character.
Arwen.
In a 1,500 page.
Galadriel's awesome.
Galadriel's
Cate Blanchett.
I'm just saying.
Cate Blanchett.
I would be a queen!
She's a bad guy.
No, she's a good
guy. No, no, she's tempted, and she thinks about it and then says no.
I don't know.
So she stays.
Liv Tyler.
All right, now the thing
Liv Tyler was built up.
Yeah. I don't know who that is, but in this movie, the lost girl who plays the female,
if you want Douglas, come and claim him.
They she agreed to do the movie.
Oh, the whole entire thing.
She was like, look, I don't want there to be a love triangle with my character.
And they made a love triangle.
And they're like, don't worry.
And they did reshoots.
And they reshot it and did this love triangle. And now she's like all pissed off about it. And it's like,
I would be too.
Yeah.
I would be too. She's good in it too.
She's awesome.
I just thought she was good on Lost. And then I was like, I wanted to see her do something else. Yeah. And she's really good.
You know what's crazy about
her? She's like 10 times hotter than I remember too. I remember her being hot in Lost. But then you see her in Elf.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
She was in Lost. It was like Steel? Was it Real Steel she was in?
Yeah. Hugh Jackman?
Yeah. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see it.
No, she is.
Yeah, okay.
What was I going to say?
On Legolas, Lost, there were times where I was like, this woman's just unbelievable.
That's what I was saying.
It's
but
like watching Karen Gillan. I was like, imagine why did her they build with it like that?
But Legolas looked pretty built in this.
Yeah. Legolas looked kind of fat.
How does Legolas look heavier? Yes.
He looked a lot heavier.
Legolas has been eating on Pirates of the Caribbean money.
Yes, he has.
How did
Legolas is like,
wait, that's the same guy.
Yeah, he's Will Turner.
Holy
he was
shit.
He was the first guy to do
does he do anything else other than play Hobbits and Pirates?
He was in the Pleasantville?
Yeah, does he do anything else that anyone's ever seen?
He was in a Cameron Crowe movie.
Anything else?
Nobody saw. Black Hawk Down. He's the guy that he's the guy that falls off.
Yeah, but that movie was 20 years ago.
Yeah. No.
Well, you just wanted to know. You just wanted to know.
And I understand. They had like Ewan McGregor, Eric Bana. But that's, like everybody's making.
But Ewan McGregor and Eric Bana, they remember those people. No one remembers that the Hobbit guy was in it because that was before the Hobbit.
No, I remember Orlando Bloom before I remember Eric Bana.
I just know that Orlando Bloom was 19 in that movie, fell off the helicopter, and that's why the whole entire mission went down.
Because he fell off a helicopter.
He couldn't stay on a fucking helicopter.
That movie really
If he was Legolas, he would have been able to float down the rope, shoot 16 arrows.
That movie made me really hate people for like 2 days. Because it's just
for 2 days.
Like the next day I woke up, I was like, I always hate people, but it peaked.
It peaked with Black Hawk Down.
It went from anger to rage.
John got a red ring that
rage
day.
Yes, rage is not sustainable, which is why they're always spitting blood.
It's hard to hate people.
It's easy to not
is
like.
Legolas
no, I mean,
in the book,
yes,
the
hard to hate.
No, hate
he's
is
not
tough.
Ever
hate,
mentioned.
Hate requires energy.
Yes.
Why was Legolas in The Hobbit?
Because Orlando Bloom sells movie tickets.
Yes.
You think so?
Because yes. Because there were lots of elves in it that didn't have names, and it's like, well,
it makes sense.
And they
I
say
think.
In Lord of the Rings that he comes from Mirkwood.
He comes from
so
Mirkwood.
So it's like, well, if he already comes from there,
he's
let's
the
give him stuff to
Thandril,
do.
He's the son of Thandril. The
it's easier than making up a whole bunch of new elves.
He's the son.
Yes. He is the prince of Mirkwood. They never mention. I believe they never mention.
Because he's sexist. That's why they don't mention a mom.
Wow.
She so might like, be dead. Like they never
do.
They
elves
never
just like pop out of nowhere then?
Like dwarves.
They mate.
They just sprout out from the ground.
You know what I really loved in this movie? Who it was a total surprise. I didn't know he was gonna be in it. I love Stephen Fry as the mayor of Lake Town.
Yes. Oh yeah, yeah,
he
he's
looks
good.
Terrible.
Oh, he looks awful.
he gained a lot of weight like recently too, like in the last 3 or 4 years.
You know what also I didn't like about this movie?
But he's funny as hell.
He's great.
I love that moment where they're like they're ready to go to war with him and he's like, "Welcome to Lake Town."
Right. All right, here's what I don't like. Every character in this movie at one point or another is like joking around with like being a good guy or a bad guy. Like Bilbo's kind of nice and then he's kind of a dick. And then like the head dwarf. Well, I'll get to that. And then the head dwarf is like, trust Bilbo. And then like 20 minutes later, he's like, screw Bilbo. And it's like they are switching allegiances to the point where I don't know who I'm supposed to root for in this movie.
Well, everybody has an arc.
Yeah, but it's not like character development. It's just like you're a dick and then you're a nice guy. It's like there's no like reason for it. You know what I mean? It's like the dwarfs are really nice to Bilbo, and you're like, ah, cool. The head dwarf.
And then the greed drives them nuts.
All the dwarfs.
Well, and there's the other thing. There's the other thing that they haven't mentioned yet, which I think they're saving for the third one. There is one other ring of power that is unaccounted for at this time in The Hobbit.
They talk about the dwarves' rings of power, too, in this. They mention
there's one missing at this point in The Hobbit, and it was owned by Thorin's father.
Oh.
He's one of the dwarf lords?
He's the one in the prologue that dies. Down. He was the one with the Arkenstone. He was the guy with the like the metal braid.
That was the grandfather.
Grandfather had the Arkenstone.
There was Thror was the grandfather.
And
he's
Thrain? Is his father?
Yes.
Okay.
Or maybe Thrain, and then Thorin.
How do you remember this stuff?
Thror.
I know. It's insane.
Well, you have to read the book a lot.
Yeah.
In Dol Guldur.
How do you remember the issue numbers of Avengers?
I don't remember the issue numbers.
Dude, I'm listening.
In Dol Guldur, Gandalf is probably going to run across Thorin's father. In
the third movie?
In the third movie.
Okay.
He died.
He's been missing.
I thought Thorin's out looking for him. Or he killed the grandfather.
He killed the grandfather.
Okay.
And
Bol's grandfather.
And Gandalf, in the book, Gandalf runs across him in Dol Guldur, and that's where Gandalf finds the map and the key. And that's the last thing that he's able to like give to Gandalf. But the ring is taken from him by Sauron.
What does Sauron do with that ring?
He collects all 10. Like, you know,
I think with each, because it's one ring to rule them all.
Yeah.
So with each ring that he gets, it's like Infinity Gems. They just power more and more his ring.
Okay.
But
so Sauron wants to get all the rings he gave to them?
Yes.
I thought originally he gave rings to all these powerful people. And they didn't know that one ring.
No, he never touched any of the rings but his own.
Yeah.
He helped with, learned the making of the rings and like instructed and taught the dwarves how to make them. He made the ones for the men. The elves made their own. But he, from everything that he learned and just being a part of the making, after they were all made, he made in secret the One Ring, which then gave him dominion over all of them. All
right, yeah. So hang on a minute. The elves made their own rings.
Yes.
The dwarves, with Sauron's help, made their own rings.
Yes.
The men got their rings from Sauron.
Yeah.
That's why they become Nazguls, right?
Yes.
And then Sauron makes his own ring.
Yes.
Those are all the rings.
Yes.
Okay.
Those are all the rings of power. There are lesser rings that have nothing to do
with
that.
But these are the only ones that, like, the story's about.
And that's all in the first Lord of the Rings. She's like, no,
I remember that, yeah. But I didn't know who made it.
I did love seeing the prisons of the ringwraiths.
Yes.
That was really cool.
That was one of the times where, like, Ben wanted to go to the bathroom, and I'm like, oh, all right. And we come back, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Why are Doctor Who and Magneto in this jail? Oh, my God, those are the ringwraiths.
Wait, who's Doctor Who?
Sylvester McCoy.
The brown
Radagast.
Which doctor is he?
He was the seventh doctor. He was the last doctor of the classic series.
Oh,
he's the doctor that has a question mark on his umbrella.
Yeah, he has like a little hat.
Okay. Gotcha.
But anyway,
Gandalf has one of the elven rings.
Whose elven ring?
Círdan the Boatman. When Gandalf, as the Istari, first comes to Middle-earth 300 years ago, this high elf gives the ring to Gandalf because he could see the future. And it's like, here, I know this will aid you, and it's the Ring of Fire.
Is that how he survives a Balrog?
Yep.
How come they don't?
Is that what the Johnny Cash song is about?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it really?
No.
All right. That was a serious question.
Stories. That's awesome.
Only Led Zeppelin made the Middle Earth songs.
How come they don't talk about that ring in the Lord of the Rings?
It's in the appendixes, like, yeah. That's why it's like, as a big Tolkien fan, I would take. If they added on and made super extended editions of Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and Return of the King, if they made 8-hour versions, I would buy those.
I think a lot of people would. But so Gandalf.
That's why
only
Game of Thrones is a TV show and not a series of movies. Yeah, because they're doing everything.
Well, now, so wait. So the only reason he survives the fight with the Balrog is because he has a fire ring? Because doesn't that fight kill him and he goes to like a naked mountain and he hangs out and gets new clothes?
He does pass and come and is sent back from like beyond.
Yeah.
But that if it weren't for that ring, he never would have been able to overcome.
Regenerate? Is Gandalf a Time Lord?
No.
Well, he goes from the gray to the white.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is he's like, he regenerates.
He just regenerates his clothes.
All right. So the brown guy with all the bird shit in his hair?
Yeah.
Right, if he dies, does he become a gray knight? Like, is there levels of Gandalf?
Gandalf only had to become the white because Sauron went from white to many colors.
Or Saruman.
And they don't mention that in the movie.
All right.
Because the Balrog kills him.
No, I know that, but he's saying there's a void in the white wizard.
Yes.
So then Gandalf becomes the new white wizard. Well, then doesn't there now a void in the gray wizard? Shouldn't a new guy become the gray wizard?
Possibly.
Maybe Radagast is a brown wizard.
That's what I'm saying. So there's levels.
And then there were the two blues that he can't. He hasn't seen it in so long. He doesn't even remember their names.
There are two blue wizards?
There are two blues, and he can't remember their
names. Do they ever see them in the books?
Nope.
They're just
Gandalf literally can't remember their names.
Well, Gandalf should write this shit down.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week was Christmas, so it should be easy for everybody to think of something they got.
Yes.
My Christmas ended up being very, very Doctor Who. Which was awesome because it was between Renee got me the series 1 of 7 on Blu-ray, which all look fantastic. Even though I was at Chicago TARDIS last year and I went to the video panel and I asked, "Hey, will the Eccleston or the David Tennant seasons ever come out?" And they said no because they weren't shot in HD. But I guess what they didn't know, they were like, "Well, we'll put them on Blu-ray anyway, and they're at least really clean. They're like probably 720p." So it's not full HD. It's not as sharp as the Matt Smith seasons, but they look really good. Like I watched an Eccleston episode and I watched a couple of Tennant episodes yesterday, and they're definitely better than Netflix and better than the DVDs I had. And then I also got it also comes with a universal remote sonic screwdriver,
nice,
which we've all been playing with. And then Big Chief, who did the Matt Smith figure, I think we talked about them on an earlier episode. They came out with both David Tennant and Tom Baker. I pre-ordered those in January, but they both showed up on Christmas Eve. So Renee said, well, we're wrapping those and we're going to say that Santa brought them. So they're on the shelf. And then as all this was coming, I was thinking, well, you know, Big Chief is like Sideshow or Hot Toys. You know, they'll do the tailoring and clothing on a body. I was like, but they probably won't make a Dalek or a TARDIS. And then I found on eBay for really cheap, a 12-inch Dalek that's remote control that lights up and talks. And before the show, we were driving him around.
It's pretty awesome.
We were looking for the cat to torture with him. And so everything I got was Doctor Who, and everything is awesome. I am shocked by how much I've been playing with the Dalek and the Sonic Screwdriver, because I was like, I want the figures to display next to the Hot Toys, and I want the Blu-rays because they look good. But man, I've been shoving that screwdriver in my baby's face. The last one, I'm like, oh, it says you're a baby. And he's just looking at the green light and smiling, and Ben sticking it at people's butts. He's like, it says you're farting. And then the Dalek, we just, you know, we just torture the cat. And he looks great. Like the, you know, the Big Chief figures, they're not only Hot Toys quality, they're Hot Toys price. So yeah. They're pretty pricey. And the Dalek costs about 25% of one of those figures. But they look perfect together. It's not like having a Happy Meal toy next to like a McFarlane.
Yeah, DC, they're pretty in scale.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's all Doctor Who for me. Steven?
I was going to say that Christmas is over is my greatest thing in the world. But I did get a whole new like wardrobe for Christmas, which is exciting because I'm poor. But actually, my favorite thing this week happened this morning. I got a haircut from Floyd's, which was a magical experience.
I always go to Floyd's.
And it's really expensive, but they shave the back of your neck and they put this like creamy, warm jizz on your neck, and it was
and who doesn't like that?
It was magical.
Way to plug them, Steven.
I didn't know it was coming.
A haircut and jizz on your neck.
I didn't know it was coming, so it was kind of a surprise, but it was magical.
They didn't warn you.
No.
Did they think they could hold out a little longer?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something else. Look at the ceiling.
I like a little warning.
Don't,
you know,
stare at me.
It's coming.
So the next time you want the mama to go,
I just want some kind of warning. That's all. Anyway, well, like, it was awesome.
Like just a tap in the head.
Yeah.
Just a little, like, or like a little tap on the shoulder. Something that I know it's coming, you know? But that was incredible. So I won't be going back, only because I can't afford to go back. But
it's good that when you have them,
it was $24,
uh-huh.
And then
did
you know,
tip them.
You gotta give a tip. Yeah.
What tip did you get?
I don't know how to tip people, so I always just do $5.
That's what I always do too. Yeah.
I don't know anything about tipping.
I'll have like a $10 meal, and I'll be like, $4 or $5.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 20%, so they say double the tax.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, double the tax, but that usually comes out to about $5.
When I was a waiter, though, and I gave,
you can always do 10% of something, and then you double that. Well, and that's 20.
Yeah, but that's 20. Too much
that's,
math.
That's no, because when I waited, I gave someone a $15 meal. I got like $1.50, and I was like,
that's awful.
10% sucks.
Yeah, it's the one industry I don't think I could ever
$3 is okay for a $15 meal, and that's 20. Yeah. That's 20.
Yeah,
$5 should.
But check out Floyd's. Go for there because they have wonderful haircuts if you can afford
There's
it.
There's like 8 of them in Chicago area.
Yeah, I got mine. I don't know. It's somewhere downtown. It was on the way here.
You didn't go to the one down. There's one down the block from the shop.
No, I dropped the ladies off. Brittany's doing a painting job, and then Kristen works at some small like boutique like resale shop. Mm-hmm. So I dropped them off, and there was one in the neighborhood where Kristen works. So I went there.
Oh, cool, Dave.
So my greatest thing in the world this week. Monday, my mom called me. She's like, you need to get Danny a gift for Santa Claus," and I was like, "What?" Like, I didn't, like, the way she said it to me, but basically was, Monday, Danny wrote a letter to Santa, and it's the greatest letter in the world. And
greatest letter in the world.
This pretty much,
it pretty much said, like, hey, dear Santa, I know that, this is word for word how it is. I'll probably put it on Facebook, but it goes like, dear Santa,
yeah, I understand
that times are hard, but I've been very good. And I was hoping that you could get me a Samsung Galaxy S3 in white. I did all my homework, and I studied really hard for school. And I think you're awesome. And if you could do that for me, you'd be the best person in the world. So that my mom got it Monday. And he usually will put a letter up way earlier for Christmas. But it was Monday, and we thought that he just probably just doesn't believe in Santa anymore. But I get home, and
how
my
old is he?
He is whatever you are when you're in third grade. So was that 9? 9, 8.
I do the same thing. I
you
never
should know better than us.
Yeah, yeah, he's so your anyway. Brother.
Anyway,
what year was he born?
Let's see. I know that. I know I broke up with a girl when he was born.
Moving on.
Anyway, was that why? I have a brother now. Yeah. I can't see
you anymore. I'm going to be too busy.
Is she a pyromaniac?
Yeah.
Sorry, there's going to be a small child in the house.
But so like Monday, I read that letter. I'm like, all right, I'll see what I could do. And I traveled to like 4 Best Buys. But I finally got it for him, and his face lit up when he saw it. So I think that's probably
that for me. Awesome. Dave made Christmas happen.
I made Christmas happen.
Yeah, but Ben wanted Skylander Swap Force, and he was looking at the presents. He was like, it's not here, because he didn't know exactly the dimensions of the box. And then started shrieking when he opened it. He was like, I got it! And we let him play on Christmas Day, and he got to level 6.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because in my family, in my house, like just because I'm Hispanic, in case people were wondering, we celebrate Christmas.
It all depends on what your last name is.
Redfield.
Redfield. So there you go.
Very Hispanic name.
Yes.
We celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. So we stay up till midnight. Then we open our presents. And then that's it. Like Christmas Day is like lazy day.
Yeah.
So for him, he was like opening all this stuff. And he's like, oh, this is awesome. And he's like, I guess that's it. And he goes to bed. But in the morning when he saw the present there, he lit up. It was pretty sweet.
Awesome.
That's how we do it too. We're stuff from each other at night and then Santa the next day.
Stu?
My best thing in the world would have to be my new Bears shirt, which is just in time for the big upcoming Bears-Packers game.
Tomorrow.
On tomorrow. Oh,
that's gonna...
Which will be yesterday for which you will... listening in yes. the future on the podcast.
So it'll depend if you're happy or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Bears will have won. It's Bears-Packers. Winner goes to the playoffs. Losers goes home.
It's in Soldier Field.
In Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is back.
But we're great. But Lacy is injured, and we're great against the passing play.
Yeah, it's gonna be intense.
I understand none of this.
Yes,
sorry. Well, this is how I feel on every podcast.
if we could get Rodgers in
football.
Well, yeah, except for that.
I feel like part of the reason it's taken me a long time to fit in Chicago is because I don't understand football.
Just go Bears. That's all.
All you need to know is the Bears. We want the Bears to win, and the Packers suck.
Yeah.
Anyone who beats the Packers.
When I first moved
Minnesota
here,
also sucks.
Yeah, fuck Minnesota.
When I first moved here, one of Renee's cousins came up to me. She's like, so John, what team do you root for? I was like, the X-Men.
I want the X-Men to win.
You don't want Magneto to win.
Right. Unless he's on the X-Men. So what does the Bears shirt say, Stu?
The Bears shirt says, Packers suck my Ditka.
And that's... I like that just as a headline.
Yeah.
Coming from a copywriter of 12 years, good line.
Yeah, it's clever. Yeah. You know what it's like.
Worth that shirt.
Sucks. Yeah.
So hopefully I'm going to...
Remember when the Bears beat the Packers on Monday Night Football and everyone was rooting... against the Bears,
except for Ditka.
One man.
Yep.
That was awesome.
And this also adds
up. Do we still need Ditka?
Yes.
Yeah, as long as he lives.
Forever. So we have Nick Offerman now.
No.
I feel like we've upgraded. It's kind of like we don't need Shia LaBeouf anymore because we have Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, but that's an upgrade. Yeah. This is not an upgrade. Yeah.
No,
Nick Offerman is an upgrade to every human being alive.
Ditka is like a staple. Yeah. He's kind of...
He's a legacy.
He's the Heimdall of... Okay. If Asgard is Chicago, Ditka is Heimdall.
Yeah. I'd agree to that.
So he's Idris Elba.
Yes.
He's
and you
he's
can't Luther. You can't just not have Idris Elba.
You can't not have him.
You can't not have Idris Elba.
Got to have him. They could make a Thor movie without Baldur, but they're fucking going to put Heimdall in that movie.
Oh yeah. And the second movie they're going to have him take off his helmet and go get a drink, hang out,
some sausage.
All right. As always, you can follow me at Not In My Book. That is the Twitter feed for Caffeinated Comics and Facebook page. There's always something happening on the Facebook page lately. It's very busy and it's very fun. And we now have as many followers on Twitter as we have on the Facebook page. And I'm going to assume they're not all the same people.
Yeah.
If you guys want to gather together.
There's some overlap, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely overlap.
Oh,
because,
but not...
because I follow both.
Dave?
I was at a holiday party, and someone was talking about Bad Wolf, the cafe that Lauren was talking about.
Oh, yeah. She posted that on Facebook.
And we were just saying, like, oh, Bad Wolf is like, and they're like, we thought it was going to be Doctor Who theme. I'm like, yeah, that's what I heard, too, but it's not. And then someone goes, like, I thought it is Doctor Who theme, because when you walk in there, there's a painting of the TARDIS. So the guys at Bad Wolf Cafe were just like, man, so many freaking geeks are coming in here talking about Doctor Who. Might as well put up a paper.
That's awesome.
That is the best news
so
ever.
So there you go. Next thing, it's going to be blue. That's
we win.
Say.
Nice.
Dave, how do we follow you?
you can get off your lazy ass and go outside, people. That's how you can follow me.
Or you can go. Where are you going? That's so important.
Get a haircut.
Today he's wearing a Venom hoodie and a baseball hat. So when you see that guy,
you know where to follow.
Never leave him alone.
David underscore Redfield at whatever, whatever, whatever.
Literally, that helped nobody.
Bit, yeah.
That's on Twitter.
Somewhere.
Facebook, I guess.
Stu, do you want anybody finding you? You're not on social much.
No, I'm not. I really should get on more social media.
That involves technology.
Yeah, I got a new cell phone. I can now text with like one hand.
I saw that. Yeah, yeah, I've been texting Stu lately.
You are on Facebook. You're not.
No, on Julie's Facebook. On his Facebook.
Yeah. But I did like.
There is a Stu McLean on Facebook.
It's, yeah, run by.
I updated
a picture of both of you.
Yes. I updated some pictures on there. I've been meaning to get like all those HeroClix mods pictures taken and put on my Facebook page and link.
Does your
back.
Phone have a camera?
Yes, I finally have there a nice go. Camera phone. Oh, now I can do it by myself. I don't have to like. All right, who wants to help me like take 100 pictures of mods?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And Steven?
Oh, yeah, I'm at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois at Chimera's Comics.
Yeah, and you know, usually we don't know what we're doing next week, so we don't have like a coming up next episode, but next week will be the 1 year anniversary of Caffeinated Comics.
Yes.
And what? Yep, and we've done about less than 52 episodes because we weren't weekly originally, but we're around like 40, 45 episodes.
So we got to do like 6-7 of them, right?
We're going to do one every day.
Up until
leading 52. Up to the 1 year anniversary.
And then next year will be the new 52.
Yes,
where
it
we
will.
Just bitch about the new 52.
Which will be the old 52 by then.
But I think we'll old. Have we'll just talk about how things went and, you know, where are we now? We'll just do like a little
and where we are going.
We're into the future.
Man.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!